He went out. Chief Chong Wan had vanished, attending to other duties. Chinese families with their children and an occasional dog were sitting about, mostly in and near rifle pits. They looked a bit worn, a bit worried. Some of the children were crying. But the parents smiled broadly and got up and bowed as Johnny passed. It made him hope their confidence was not misplaced. The exit from the bowl was a curving underground passage under the cable, so it wouldn't have to be turned off each time anyone went in or out. The curves were to prevent bomb flash and fragments from getting in. He went to the first anti-aircraft gun emplacement. The gun was shielded. The two gunners were in Russian bulletproof battle dress. A Scot officer saw him and got out of a pit.
"We don't have enough of these,"
said the Scot, pointing at the gun.
"We can't cover the lake. It's all we can do to cover this bowl."
Johnny went over to the gun. It had computer sights that zeroed in on anything moving. What one had to do was hit a trigger, and the gun calculated the speed and direction of a moving object, sent a blast concussion into its path, then found the next moving object and hit that. He looked up. An enemy plane at about 200,000 feet was barely discernible. Johnny knew the range of this gun was short of that by about 50,000 feet. So did the enemy, apparently. That plane was dropping bombs. The gun bucked five times rapidly. Five bombs exploded in midair, direct hits by the gun. The explosions up there came back down to them.
"The ones you feel land,"
said the Scot officer,
"go into the lake. They're beyond our sector. And, of course, the ones that fall way out in the woods, we don't bother with those."
Johnny looked toward the woods. 7 or 8 miles away, there was quite a fire going. No, 3 separate fires. Every animal within 50 miles must have left the country. The African buffalo the Sherpas had was probably killed by bombs earlier. Well, the woods wouldn't burn very long. It was pretty wet just now. He looked back at the gun. What havoc one of these things would have made with their attack on the mine sites over a year ago, if the attack had not been a total surprise. And if security chiefs like Turl had not let the company defenses go neglected. Another bomb hit on a hill about 10 miles away, and even from here one could see the geyser of smoke and trees. That battleship up there was dropping pretty heavy bombs. If one hit this cone, he didn't know whether the atmosphere screen would repel it. He was walking back to the entrance when he saw Glenn Cannon come out. He was buttoning up a heavy flying suit. He didn't have a communicator or co-pilot with him. He was walking toward a plane that was surrounded by sandbags. Johnny thought he must have special orders and did not stop him. Glenn Cannon got into the plane, a heavily armored Mark 32 that had been converted to high-altitude flying. Just as Johnny started down into the passage, Stormalong came racing out of it.
"Glenn Cannon!"
shouted Stormalong. But the pilot had taken off.